So moving on to the next topic of living arrangements for a very high level rogue renegade off-gridders. It is the nomad option or the backpacking option. It is simply to be completely disconnected even of a vehicle, even off of a permanent place of shelter. You are completely disconnected from the system as much as humanly possible. You have no IDs, you use no money, you use no conventional shelter in the conventional sense that you come home every day. You just don't do that. You live out in the elements. You are out in nature, whether it's out in the country, a city, both alternate in between, and the desert. Whatever it may be, whatever the environment that you currently occupy is, that's where you live. No shelter as far as a house, an apartment in the conventional sense. Of course, you will have to shelter from the elements, from the snow, from the rain, from the sun, from the wind, from every other element out there, the heat, the cold. You have to shelter from that simply to stay healthy and alive. So when I say no shelter, I mean in the conventional sense of the word, no home, permanent structure that you call home. This, again, is not for everyone. You may not be ready for it. Or it may also be something that's temporary, something that you try on a temporary basis, just to live it, to experience it, to tell about it, to learn from it. And it could be something that could be done for one day, 2 days, 3 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, who knows? However long you feel like doing it, however long you are able and willing to do it, you can do that. The nomad life is a quite challenging type of lifestyle. Of course, not for most folks. You have to have achieved, in my eyes, the highest level of self-sustainability, confidence, technicality, as far as being very crafty. The highest, almost the top level of creativity, resourcefulness. And again, it's a very high level of not only health, but also mental capability, mental health, mental strength. So again, you have to ready yourself for it. If you are not ready and you're willing and wanting to do something like this, again, it's not for everyone. You may not be able to do it even if you wanted to do it, but you may be very well in the position to do it right now. You may put yourself in that position in a few weeks, months, years time. So it is, again, to be out and traveling. You would not be in a fixed position, in a fixed setting, fixed environment. You can, but just to define it in the commonly known way, you would be moving about almost every day. You could settle a little spot, rest, eat, do whatever you need to do, do whatever you feel like doing for a little while, a day, 2 days, half a day, 3 days, 5 days, who knows, and then move on. You move on to the next spot. Moving around, moving about, moving on is recommended and sometimes necessary because you are occupying a spot most likely that belongs to someone else in any given time, unless you are in a very sparse, remote area with little or no supervision or surveillance by anyone. Even those spots are quite challenging because of wildlife, because of the seldom passerbyers and several other factors. So you have to consider that aspect of the nomad life, that you will be a nomad. You will be moving about quite often, moving around. So you have to be in decent health, able to walk, able to run, jog, sit on the ground, do quite strenuous work and tasks. I would recommend you to be in at least decent shape or health, average health. You don't have to be a world-class athlete, but I would think that you would have to do the things that I just described with some ease if you're going to have any good time or even be able to survive out there, because it's quite rough. So you have to consider the amount of movements that you're going to have to make to do on a daily basis. You have to be aware of your surroundings, where you go, what time of day you go, especially where you stay, spend the night. Once it gets dark, situations may quickly change. Humans tend to behave differently. A lot of criminal mentality may arise. Someone may attack you, hurt you, rob you, kidnap you, hold you for ransom, hostage. So you have to not only plan ahead, but also be ready for such event if such event was to occur
and it will always remain a possibility no matter where you go. However, it will be much more likely to be attacked in an area that has a lot of criminal activity.
Areas where there's drug trafficking, gang activity, crime, organized, unorganized, robberies, gambling, prostitution activity, any sort of illegal criminal activity area you must avoid, not only to stay overnight, but you must avoid it, period, if at all possible. Many times you will not know, since you will be moving about so much. It is just impractical to attempt to keep up with every single area that you go into, walk in and out of. A lot of times that just won't be an option when you will research the area, because a lot of times you won't have cell phone service, internet service. You will not have the information at your fingertips. A lot of times you may not have a cell phone, smartphone, laptop available with you, especially if you're mobile on the road. You just won't have these facilities, or at least they won't be as readily available. Expectantly, you will not know a lot of these areas unless you are told, unless you find somehow out about these areas, unless you pick up some clues. And about clues, you must be very vigilant and aware when you're nomad, walking on your own, living out of a backpack. You must be acutely aware of your surroundings, not only your surroundings as far as climate, but also your surroundings as far as the people around, wildlife around. You have to be very keen who's around you, who's coming your way, who's going away, who's standing around, who drives around, what type of looks you get, what type of vehicles are being driven around, what type of people are going in and about the area. You can sort of tell if someone's up to no good at any one moment without any kind of racial profiling or any kind of other type of profiling. You can tell vaguely someone's intentions, whether they are going about their business, busily going about their business, or they're looking for something, looking for the opportunity. You can kind of tell this, and you can pick that up using your eyesight, your thinking, intuition. You can determine whether that area is safe to be in or not. If you're going to sleep in any one area, spend the night, spend some time doing any kind of activity, you have to watch that area. See if there's anyone watching that's aware of your presence. If they're aware of your presence, how is their reaction? Are they interested in you? Are they pretty much ignoring you, going about their business? You should consider all of these things. Again, a lot of you may choose to be armed. I don't recommend this if you are nomad, because you may find yourself in many situations that being armed is actually a drawback, is actually harmful for you, and it's a liability to be armed when you're going about and around and going about into so many areas. You may be looked at as a threat, not only by people with ill intent, but by police, which may or may not have ill intent against you. That's something you have to consider. Be clean, be organized, be well presented, even if you are a nomad. This will help you a lot. Yes, I know it should not matter. Your looks and your dress should not matter in an ideal world. However, we live far from an ideal world. A lot of us still have very strong vestigial traits or vestigial tendencies or behaviors that are quite animalistic.
Animalistic.
And a lot of us tend to judge people on their looks more than anything else. And it is in our drawn out past where this was a necessary trait. Nowadays, it is not as necessary, but we still make use of it. And I believe that's where racism and all the other maladies that we humans carry with us originate from. Again, when you're a nomad, you have to be extremely crafty, ready, organized. You have to have at least some sort of baggage, preferably in a backpack. You have to have some basic supplies at the very least. You will be living mostly off the land. You could not possibly carry most of the things you need, let alone everything. You have to live off the land. You have to carry basic things, travel light. If you travel too heavy, this will cause a lot of problems. Not only physically, but it may hinder you from your activities, from where you can go, what you can do. If you have a very huge backpack, for example,
You may not be able to walk into any store. You may not be able to walk into a certain area, like a park or anything like that, without raising too much concern. And I keep bringing up people's concerns, people's reactions of you a lot, because it's just the reality is your safety that's at risk here. When people are too concerned about you, they may notify police unnecessarily on you. They may confront you. You may bring harm to yourself unnecessarily and unwarranted. And a small backpack, I believe, alleviates a lot of these unwanted attentions from people, police, from people with ill intent, criminals. So that is something that you want to consider. The size, the items that you bring with you on your travels, on your explorations, on your expeditions. Ensure that you bring at least some sort of water or liquid container for water. A canteen, water bottle, preferably a water bottle that's washable with a big spout that you can stick a cleaning cloth or some sort of brush in there and wash it. The spout should be big so the bottle could dry up readily. The water could readily evaporate and keep it clean and dry when it's not in use. And it should be to where it doesn't readily get cold or hot depending on the environment outside. It should be somewhat insulated. Whether it's a plastic or an insulated double-walled material such as aluminum. Aluminum is quite popular because aluminum could be heated. The military used to use aluminum for their canteens before they switched to plastic. Aluminum could be heated. You can boil water if need be. You can keep it in the sun and warm it up a little bit. Warm water is much more healthy than cold water. You can heat it up to a boil if you have fire. That way you can drink it. You should also take basic cleaning supplies such as small soap, whether it's in a small bottle or a bar of soap. You should take perhaps maybe a small bottle of sanitizer. Of course, your mask, disposable or the washable type, preferably the washable type. That way you can only bring one or two instead of a whole pack. Again, the least amount of devices and supplies you bring with you, the better. So make sure they're important, useful. And preferably useful for more than one thing. I mean, there's a repertoire of things that you can have depending on the environment that you will be traversing, what kind of lifestyle you live. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that you can choose from to have depending on your situation. You may have medical condition that you need to take care of. You need to take your medications with you. Who knows? You may decide to take some sort of grooming tools such as nail clipper, toothbrush, toothpastes. Brushing your teeth is extremely important, even out on the road, especially out on the road. You may decide to take with you some sort of granola bar, protein bars that will keep you going even after many, many hours of hunger, not being able to eat a full meal. You may be traversing an area that's desolate and without any kind of grocery stores, food places. Also, you should take something to wipe yourself with, such as a small towel. Not a full body towel like those beach towels or even a regular towel. About half the size of a standard towel should be good. Doesn't have to be very thick. Thick garments will just bulk up your backpack. If you're in a cold area, you may want to have some sort of clothing to cover up. So you may have to bulk up a little bit if you're in a cool area. I'm not sure if a lot of people will be ready to backpack in a cold area, but that is an option. That is something that people have done. And there are advantages to backpacking in a cooler area, even cold. You may not have to shower as much. You may not have to worry about the heat, dehydration. There are some advantages, plenty of disadvantages, and we could go over that in an entire show dedicated for this. And I may, but I will keep it within the basics here. Backpacking, again, you may want to take some sort of fire generation tool, like a lighter, and perhaps maybe a very small bottle with lighter fluid. You may have to light up a bonfire, campfire. You may have to cook, lighting up a fire. You may carry as many supplies as you think you may need. You may want to carry a compass, a small cutting tool, such as a small knife that you can retract, a retractable knife, preferably. That way you can store it without cutting up your bag or yourself. You may want to have some sort of Swiss Army knife or multi-tool that has perhaps cutters, screwdrivers. You never know what you may have to tinker with, disassemble. So basic tools, I mean, this is not a complete necessity. But in today's modern world, a lot of things are assembled, disassembled using screwdrivers, some sort of wrench. So a multi-tool, I believe, is a valuable thing, something that's quite necessary. Some sort of light source, such as a flashlight, could be also quite useful, especially the type that is light and powerful. There are many powerful types of flashlights that last quite long as far as battery life goes. Make sure you get, if you're able, lithium-ion batteries. Those are the lighter batteries and the longest-lasting batteries. They're quite powerful. Yes, they are more expensive, but if you're going to go backpacking, you want to have quality, durable things that are long-lasting and light. So do spend extra amount of money, and that will go a long way, I believe, in your convenience and even well-being. You may have to use that flashlight for a critical task. Also, you may have to use the restroom. You may have to shit or pee out in the woods, in the forest, or even out back. In the back of a building, the back of a dumpster. You never know. You may have to use toilet paper. Half a roll of a toilet paper, or even a whole roll, is a highly recommended item on your backpack. Maybe some baby wipes to come in handy, especially in those messy situations. You may have had a bad experience with a meal. You may have to use baby wipes to stay clean. They have small packs. Some of them contain alcohol or other disinfectant, which are probably even better to have. You may not have to use it all the time, but once in a while you may have to break one out. Having a see-through backpack, I believe, is not only a convenience for you, but also it's a safety advantage for you. When people see what you have, the items you have, they feel a lot more comfortable being around you or allowing you to be in a certain area without raising too much concern. Yes, again, I raise the point of people being concerned about you. People, for the most part, are not nomads in the sense that they have been taught and they have lived most of their lives as sedentary people. They have lived a sedentary lifestyle to where they have settled in one area, and for the most part, they have stayed in that area for a long time, sometimes a lifetime, which is quite unattractive to many of us, even absurd. But to many, perhaps most people, this is normal. And when they see someone moving about an area, coming and going, and looking like they don't belong because of what they wear, what they have on them, by just the fact of having a backpack or some sort of bag on them, they tend to raise their eyebrow and judge you, and they tend to be concerned all of a sudden. But if you have a small backpack that's see-through, they have ones with the mesh fabric. I don't really recommend the ones that are the see-through plastic. Those tend to crack and break over time. The plastic doesn't let your body breathe. If you put it on your back, your skin, allowing some air with that mesh-type fabric is, I think, better. You want to, at all possible, limit weight, not add. Keep it small, keep the backpack small, keep the items very limited, but useful. If you notice that you pack an item that you don't ever use, then you may want to consider getting rid of that item. There are some items, however, that may seem like you never use them, but you're going to wish that you had them, like matches or a source of fire. You may not be a smoker. You may not use that lighter for months, but there may be that time, very likely, that it's going to be a cold, dark, long night that you're going to need that lighter. If you don't have it, your very life may be at risk. If not, then you may have a very uncomfortable and cold night ahead. There are some things, again, that you may not use all the time that you absolutely need to keep. Your compass, a cutting tool, and some sort of towel. Those are the ones that come to mind right now. Don't overdo it. Don't carry a bunch of bags or carry a buggy, something that you drag around. That's just going to slow you down, and it's going to prevent you from going in and out of a lot of places. You want to be able to have just enough on you that will allow you to live and stay healthy. And also, you want to be able to go to a store with it. You don't want to leave your bag or your stuff laying around. It's just inefficient because you have to come back and get it. And also, inconvenient and unsafe because you may be robbed the minute that you leave that bag laying around. There may be people that come around and just grab it, take it, dump it, use it. Who knows? And then you no longer have things that you so much need. And then you're going to have to go around and get them again. Spend the work, effort, and energy that you can use elsewhere to regain those items. Having said that, don't depend on any one item outside of you. You and most people already depend on plenty of items outside of their body. Don't add too many more. You can completely live off the grid and self-sustained, living off the land with the things that are available in nature. So don't depend on 100% or even 90 or 80% on things that are in that backpack. Do
your effort to not depend on those things so much. That way, if you lose them, misplace them, or if you get robbed, you're not without a clue what to do next. You can still keep going, live, and be fine without them, and just attempt to regain them slowly.
And I will leave it at that. I know I have been a little drawn out. I'm not going into a whole lot of detail on these topics that I've discussed. I've discussed the three living arrangement options for living off the grid, renegade style, which are the homestead option, the van life, and the nomad option. Again, those topics are monstrous and require many hours to go into considerable detail. And I will do that on a later show, pick each one of these topics and go into a lot more detail. However, I've laid out some basics, not all, since it's such a broad topic. I have also gone into a few things about living off the grid in this manner, being rogue, or a very high level of living off the grid, renegade. Last thing I wanted to leave you with is your cell phone. If you go nomad, having a cell phone could be a very big convenience. However, it will drag you down as far as having weights. If you have walked more than 10 miles, every gram of weight matters on your body, on yourself. Having a big, large cell phone, as many of the ones that are out now popular, will just drag you down, will weigh you down. Not only that, but it will prevent you from being completely off the grid. Being off the grid means being self-sustained, self-reliant, not being tied up, not being leashed by anyone or anything. A cell phone is one of the biggest leashes there are that ties you to the outside world, to a company, an employer, a customer, a salesperson. Yes, it is a convenience to keep in touch with loved ones and family and friends. If you want to document your journey in case of an emergency, sometimes it may save your life. However, many things may save your life that you may not have. You may not have a defibrillator that may be able to save your life as well. So people live and die all the time. You may not be the type that wants to preserve every chance to save your life. You may accept the way of the world, the way of nature, the natural order of things. If you happen to die one day of a heart attack because you have no access to calling 911, then that's just the way life is. You may be able to accept that, accept the risk of this occurrence happening, and reap the benefits of not having a 1-pound cell phone weighing you down, not having the extra stress of having previous customers, previous unwanted friends in many cases, and other people from calling you in the middle of a quiet moment out in the wilderness, or calling you in many cases nonstop. It will prevent you and distance you from the noise of social media, all the advertisement, the bombarding advertisement that you will probably get from social media, and all the social pressures that come with worrying about social media. So that's, I believe, a huge benefit in dumping that cell phone, not only if you go nomad, but also in any other situation, whether it's van life, mobile life, or even a homestead life. You'll be surprised how little people are interested in really talking to you and establishing a voice conversation with you nowadays. Yes, there may be many or some that do want to spend the time, want to spend the effort, but perhaps this is just applicable to me. A lot of people just don't want to spend the effort, the extra minutes, the extra seconds it takes to dial a phone and establish a conversation with you that may be beneficial not only for you, but themselves as well. If you just keep old telephone service, that may force those that may care about you to actually talk to you. If they don't, then that'll tell you what their priorities are. That'll help you place in your priority structure. Those that call you are probably those that care the most about you. Those that don't, then the opposite applies. And although you should still call those that don't call you, I strongly believe that. That'll help determine where they're at as far as how much they care.
They're busy shooting messages back and forth, taking selfies and taking pictures of the food they eat, the shit they lay, and the little bug on their window, then that's their priority. If you're off and off the gritter, in the sense I am describing in this show, you care more about the real, the more profound, the more natural part of the world, the more natural relationship, personal, up close, via voice, if at all possible. All this symbolism, all this remote communications with using gadgets and electronic equipment is fine. Hope to catch you in the next chat. Thank you very much.